Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and I am joined by Mr. Brian E. Roach on this eve of Festivus as we are prepared to air our grievances. Brian, I would ask how you're doing, but I'm still going to, but I have a feeling I already know.
Well, look, you know, they lost. It sucks. I'm aggravated. I have to go deal with Jets fans on Monday. It's, you know, I'm not happy about it. But at the same time, what are you going to do? I mean, the season has been what it is. And this game, in many ways, to me, absolutely encapsulate the season as a whole.
It really does. Losing playmakers, just inconsistency with offense and everything else. I don't even know where to begin with this, because it would be one thing if they just played bad entirely, which they had spots where they most certainly did, but to come back and get this game all knotted up at 10 all and not be able to do anything else after that, and Marquise Pouncey going down, the first snap right after that, B.J. Finney subbing for him, tripping Mason Rudolph, who comes in because Duck Hodges had thrown a pair of picks and wasn't able to get anything done. And then, of course, you get snake bitten there, and then he gets hurt. Of course, James Conner goes limping off the field. You had different players such as Cam Hayward and Bud Dupree have their dings and dents, and Lord knows what their availability or anything is going to be like for any of these guys headed into next week. You have Juju playing for the first time in forever and all these different things. I mean, there were small signs of encouragement here or there, and I'm not even sure really where to begin with some of this, because let's get our first thing off of our chest, even though this wasn't necessarily the reason the Steelers lost. Let's just say the refs stink. Let's just get it out there.
They do. I mean, that it. I will say it up front. It has absolutely nothing to do with the outcome of this game, but my God, they're so bad.
Yeah, because it didn't really affect. Now, I thought it was kind of interesting Gene Steratore talking about whether Joe Hayden had actually picked that off. We all know if that was challenged and gone to replay, there's no way they're going to say that's a catch. We've been there before. It looks like it could be. You'd be like, man, he just made one hell of a one-handed catch interception play. And we all know when they go to replay and they send it to, you know, Al Riveron, we need a nickname for him. I don't even know where to begin.
I got one. I have one. Yeah. Ass hat. There you go. I'm done.
the supreme leader, ass hat, maybe. So, yeah, I mean, we all been there before, and it's like they bring this up, like, they don't show this, like, of course, during a point during replays on TV when it would have mattered as much. It was like they waited like 10 minutes later and then showed it. Well, going back to this play and looking at this, maybe, you know what I mean? And then it makes it even more discouraging. I mean, the Steelers defense did everything that we usually expect them to do in this game, but the offense was kind of meh. And I mean, really meh. The Jets come out, they score, okay, after I say the defense does their job, but of course they score on this this first drive. Of course, the Minka Fitzpatrick pass interference. This bothers me somewhat. I mean, okay, these two guys end up running into each other, but where's the ball thrown to? It's pretty much like a lot of guys get bailed out for bad passes anymore, to the effect of even down to the last second of the game. I was just wondering if there would be one of these hankies thrown on the field. But, you know, there's always these things. You know, you and I, we always talk about this with a grain of salt. Do you take even the first half of football sometimes? Because you may have that game plan there, but now what do you do after you've run through your script of what you're going to run and what you're going to call? Now, how do you adjust to doing whatever? And the Steelers defense definitely adjusted, and the Jets offense wasn't very good. And we said this throughout our, you know, pregame analysis and everything else, and even speaking about the Steelers' odds and chances of making the postseason. And this was the game where you're playing a pretty bad team. You should be able to at least make some kind of statement for a playoff run. Now that the Steelers lose this game, this isn't entirely in their control now. There's a lot of other factors we're going to talk about. You know, we'll leave next week's game on the table for later on in this same episode. We'll get this one out of the way first. But we did mention, though, you don't deserve to be a playoff team if you don't beat the Jets.
Absolutely, we did mention that. And look, about this team, they have a playoff caliber defense. They may even have a championship caliber defense. They don't have anything else. and look, in some ways, that is a function of what it is. We said after game two, hey, the best thing about Ben getting hurt is we'll know whether Mason Rudolph is the future. I'm going to say it again. While he had some moments, he's not. He's just not. And I think it's better that we know that now, as opposed to down the road and when they have to make decisions without having that kind of knowledge. The Duck story is fun, and we've had a lot of interesting and fun storylines this season. But there's a reason a guy goes undrafted, and there's a reason a guy gets cut and re-signed to the practice squad, and that is he's not a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. The offense has been, I almost want to say historically bad. I've been watching this team for, as you know, since the Stone Age.
1933.
And, yeah, something like that. And, look, this is worse than Kent Graham bad. This is worse than Mark Malone, who's been compared to be the worst quarterback in Steelers history. You're talking about this is 80s level bad, right? So just hold on to this for a little bit, Steelers fans, and remember, when Ben finally hangs it up, this is what you're going to get.
for a little while, maybe. Let's be fair.
But,
I know you're saying Rudolph isn't the future necessarily, but geez, oh man, I mean, this is his first set of games and playing and in and out of the lineup and stuff. And Ben was never meant to come right in. He was the third string guy heading into the season, and injuries dictated that he come in. And he happened to, he generates some plays or moves the chains and things like that. And we've seen flashes of that from both of these guys, actually, Rudolph and Duck. I'm not saying either one of them are going to become the franchise guy, but I'm also not going to say they're not, because Ben was, as you're well aware, Ben had very good defenses, and he also had a little bit of a surrounding cast around him, Jerome Bettis and Hines Ward and guys like that, and these guys don't have any of that right now. I mean, you can't keep James Conner on the field and healthy, and you hadn't had Juju Smith-Schuster, you haven't had him healthy, or I don't know, his head's been in the game or whatever been the case this year. He hasn't been the same player either. They just don't have a very much of a supporting cast to help these guys out. And the offensive line has been, I'm going to quote one of our guys, Derek Overly here, his favorite word, the offensive line has been cheeks.
Okay. And I don't disagree with any of what you're saying, but I've seen enough of Mason Rudolph throwing the ball behind guys. I've seen enough bad ball placement. I've seen enough inconsistency from me to say he's not the future. I will say right now, he's not going to be a franchise quarterback. He's just not. That's being understanding everything you just said and still expecting growth. I don't see it. And I don't buy that it's there. So, that being said, I will say he did provide the spark today when he came in. I will say that had he not gotten hurt, which we don't know yet how bad it is, that maybe they have a better chance to pull this off because he is better than Devlin Hodges.
Yes.
But that's just not saying much, man.
Well, I mean, you know how I was with Landry Jones, and I'm going to say that I can't say it with Duck Hodges necessarily. I'd put Duck maybe on the same level as Landry. I'm going to put Rudolph above Landry. I think that there's just so much turmoil in just this revolving door of everything that keeps going on. You've had no consistency with who's in the starting lineup, basically, who's on the field, who's available, who's throwing passes at who. These are like the receivers. you saw me in the back rooms. We're talking, we're having these conversations during the game today. And I said, do all these guys have butterfingers, or is there that much more on the ball when Rudolph's throwing it? Because every single guy he targeted like had a ball that they dropped that probably should have been caught. I understand a couple of these were maybe difficult catches, but I'm talking about right at the start. You had Vance McDonald bobble one. You had Deontay Johnson bobble one. I want to say Jalen Samuels let one hit the turf. And you're just kind of like, okay, what's going on here? You know what I mean? It doesn't seem like, oh, and Juju should have had one too at one point. And then he had one where it was like, oh man, he looked like the grown ass man that we remember from last year. And it is unfortunate, Brian. And you know, there's differences with both of the guys. You don't see Duck use the middle of the field, and Duck just, I don't think, has the arm strength. We talked about this before, where his anticipation makes the ball look like it's on a rope. But when he throws these balls for a certain distance, they just don't seem to have enough oomph behind them to get to their intended destination. And that's how these balls have been getting picked off, practically all of them, to be honest. And that's the way the game is. So what these defenses have started doing, especially when you have somebody that's Greg Williams, who understands this and has been around the block, they're just going to load up and just stop the run and dare one of these quarterbacks to do something to you. Now, Kent Graham level of bad, man, I don't know. But, it kind of feels that way, because it's like you throw Graham out there and he throws some picks. Cordell Stewart, you throw out there, he throws some picks. And I'm just old enough to remember a guy who also wore number 6, who wasn't Bubby. Fair. Yeah, Bubby.
Bubby.
Man, I'll tell you what.
God, I miss Bubby.
I don't. I mean, the Browns fans, it was like pretty much that's all they ever used to throw in your face back when, they had the original Browns and they were a competitive team. It was just always Bubby, Bubby, Bubby. And it was like, oh, man, it was bad. You couldn't even use, that was the heyday of video games starting, and you had Tecmo Bowl. You didn't want to play with the Steelers and Tecmo Bowl. There's going to be some fans that remember this on the original Nintendo, and they're going to laugh because you had Dwight Hands of Stone and Bubby Brister. I don't remember if Bubby Brister had, if he was licensed. There were some guys. I remember Randall Cunningham was QB Eagles. I don't think there was a QB Steelers, but we have some guys who will not mention their names on this show that also played quarterback. He who shall not be named. We could throw Bubby under, QB Steelers. There'd be really no difference there if he were nameless. And it's kind of, you make a good point, because it's the way I was starting to feel watching this game and the offense being historically bad. And I know everybody's going to be like, oh, throw Randy Fickner under the bus and under the boat too. Why not? Let him drown. What is this guy supposed to do? There's certain strengths to each of these quarterbacks. You get a guy who could throw like a hard pass, got an arm. He's a bigger quarterback in Rudolph. Maybe not as mobile. He'll stand tall in the pocket. And you got Hodges, who almost reminds me of Josh Dobbs and wants to take off running, but he doesn't have the fancy footwork of a Josh Dobbs to be able to do that. And it always makes me wonder if Dobbs hung around, what would this conversation be like? Would it be any different? Probably not, between all of them, to be completely honest. So you look at this, you look at the offense. We talked about whether or not Duck would be on a short leash. And throwing those picks and not protecting the ball is ultimately, this is why I threw the zebra stuff out the window, even though it was Hockley's kid out there doing the game. I said the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, but we knew that he was going to be on a short leash, not protecting the ball and coughing it up those few times with those picks is ultimately what did the Steelers in today. That's the reason why they lost.
Well, I will agree with you to a certain extent, but I'm going to air some Randy Fickner grievances.
This is fine. He's not without fault. Trust me, he's not without fault. I'm just saying. Don't expect this guy to get fired next season. Look what he's dealing with here.
Let's be realistic. This is Ben's guy, and if Ben comes back next season, he's not going to be fired. And he's probably not. That's just not the way Steelers do business. Look. It's very unlikely. The chances are less than 1% that Fickner ends up being gone at the end of the season. But that doesn't mean that he gets a free pass either, because he is, he still is responsible for figuring this stuff out. And he's had these two guys, and we talked about it last time. It does take time. You've got an entire offensive scheme that's designed around a guy who hasn't been around since game two. And you have to try and figure out what's going on with these guys. But here's, so I do give him to a certain extent some benefit of the doubt. But here's where I have an issue. The Steelers get the ball back with 3 minutes, you know, give or take, to play. And the first play is a run. Now, I get it. Okay, I get it. But you need to be aware of game situation, too. And somebody needs to be, you know, somebody needs to understand that when you've got Devlin Hodges, you know, at quarterback, you cannot consistently uncork these deep balls. People are on Juju for missing the one. Go back and look at the replay on that catch. And Juju has said, it's on me that we lost. I should have caught that fourth down ball.
No,
that would have been the catch of catches. I mean, you're talking about a Swan-esque type catch. First of all, he would have had to turn his body completely around, reach an extra 3 feet to one side because the ball was not located that well. You know, the ball to James Washington that was to the outside where they were on the wrong side, you know, weren't on the same page. Just got thrown one way and Washington's looking the other. It's just, it isn't, that's not his strength. And, you know, I won't give him a pass on either of the interceptions because not only were they bad balls, they were bad decisions.
Yes.
The one that he threw to McDonald, or that was an attempt to get Vance McDonald in the game, clearly points out why they have feared going over the middle when Devlin Hodges is in the game, because he looks and stares down his receivers, and you can get away with that at Samford. You can't get away with it in the NFL. You just can't. These guys are going to be watching what you do, and look, it is what it is. I don't want to beat any of these guys up, whoever they are playing next week. Whoever plays next week, and for all we know, it's going to be Paxton Lynch.
Please don't. They still have to win next week, Brian.
I get it, but look, it's a lot of talk that maybe Mason broke his collarbone. That was all the rage on the thing. I don't know that that's true. I don't know that it's not. I have no clue what's going on.
Wouldn't he have been carted out of there if he would have broken? He wouldn't just be casually sitting on the bench with a broken collarbone.
I would think not. Yes, I would think his arm would be in a sling and there would be some other things. But let's say, you know, he can't play next week. Guess what? That means you got Paxton Lynch as your backup.
You got to call
Duck
him up.
Duck is probably starting. Yeah, you got no choice because you can't go into it with just Duck. Unless you've decided, well, after Duck's done, Paxton Lynch is so bad, we're just going to run the Wildcat the rest of the game.
I think Vance McDonald's the emergency quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. look, Fichtner has failed, in my view, to find a way to make these guys better. And that's my issue with Fichtner. And I think his game awareness is sometimes questionable. And it's the deep throws when Devlin Hodges is a quarterback that you simply have to come back and say, why is that route even being called? And you need to, you know, if nothing else, you need to get up in that guy's face and say, take the underneath route on the interception in the end zone where it was, what, third and three? He had an easy first down to Deontay Johnson. All he has to do is toss it to him. That's all they needed. No, throws the pick. It's bad decision making, and it needs to be addressed. And in many ways, I put that on Fichtner as part of the issue, only because he's had him around now, what, six, seven, eight games.
Yeah.
But you know, look, as I tweeted out not that long ago, the bottom line of this is while I fully support the next man up mantra. At some point, when an entire side of your team is those next guys up, and sometimes the next guy up after that guy, it breaks. That mantra breaks because you cannot have three levels of starting caliber players in the NFL. There just aren't that many guys to do that. And when it breaks, it breaks. And that's what we see with this offense that, you know, really is just not good. And we've known that for several weeks.
Yeah, and as much as the play-by-play guys and, you know, Dan Fouts, I'm trying to think who it was again. Was it Ian Eagle? He's usually the one that's with Dan Fouts, and they get some things completely wrong. Was Mike Hilton ever a practice squad player with the Steelers? I mean, come on, guys. He came out of nowhere as a camp phenom and started in the first game. He was never a practice squad guy. That just kind of drives me crazy. I don't know if they grab some of these things from Wikipedia or whatever, but part of my thing with the Randy Fichtner thing is, Brian, and this goes back to even Tommy Maddox, okay? And we're talking about some different what do you want to say, Steelers star passers or whatever here. But you know, the Tommy Gunn, he wasn't the sharpest guy even when he had his little comeback season. He was the comeback player of the year, everything like that. He was adequate at best, right? And he gets hurt and Ben makes way for Ben, and all the timing of the offense changes with the way Ben operates the offense. That's what I kind of mean with the quarterbacks. And when you're doing that,
oh, I agree.
When you're doing that mid-game, or even, you know, when you only have a handful of practices, that's some inconsistency that's very tough, because you see, and you often see this when a backup quarterback comes in, who they usually have success with, like the guy that's like the slot receiver, the third receiver off the bench, tight ends, you know, get things of that nature. And often that's because tight ends and running backs are the dump-off guys because they're seeing ghosts downfield. And I think that's part of the problem. Was the reason he didn't see that Deontay Johnson was wide open, he was still seeing ghosts from throwing the pick with Vance McDonald. Third and 10, first quarter, right? Third and 10, New York Jets, it was at the 45-yard line. They give up, not necessarily points there, because that's kind of the territory where you might go for it on fourth down. But, you know, you have this kind of drive, and you have an opportunity to answer after the Jets just went up 7-0, which I'm going to go to that real quick, too, because did you get the impression that Terrell Edmunds and Joe Hayden were playing so shallow on that? I think there were two trends of thought there and the reason they get beat. One was, I think they're looking to see if Le'Veon Bell squeaks out there. I think that's one thing that they had in their game plan, was we're not going to let Bell beat us in the pass game, right? I think the other thing they were really thinking was, well, with Edmund's speed, et cetera, even if they go and try and play this over the top, they're pretty much going to have to make this pinpoint precision pass that ends up in the back of the end zone in order to complete this. And guess what happens? So, I mean, you got to tip your cap to Sam Darnold and Robbie Anderson for that play. That was just, you know what I mean? He comes up with it. That's the play that James Washington doesn't end up coming up with, just by virtue of where the ball ends up and where players have their hands and whatnot. And it sucks. It seems like I said, it seems like the team's snake bitten in that aspect. So heading back to this drive that happens right after this, there's the interception, and it ends up at the Jets 34, 35-yard line. And now, you know, you basically had a three and out. The defense does their job. Then the Steelers come out and they lay an egg. You got Benny Snell runs for a yard. Hodges gets sacked. And on many of these, there were guys just coming free, completely unblocked. You watched Matt Filer look the other direction on one and completely miss a guy when he had help. I think it was Vinette. I don't think it was Vance McDonald. I think it was Vinette was next to him. And on the other side, it was Ramon Foster at one point. And maybe he did have somebody that he was blocking. Maybe it was Villanueva. Somebody looked like they missed an assignment or they sent an extra guy. They come in free. Nobody's picking it up. And they're just throwing the quarterbacks down to the ground. So even when you're turning the ball over the way you are, you're also ending up in third and long situations by virtue of getting sacks or a running game that's not getting materialized because they're loading up the box. So it's kind of – I know I bit off a lot to chew there. That's basically the nutshell of the first quarter right there. You have the Steelers go a three – they throw a pick. They go a three and out. You're starting to think, is Hodges on the short leash? Will Tomlin pull the trigger and bring Rudolph in this time, and how might that work? Jets end up getting the ball back. A couple of plays. They play like the first play of the second quarter. Le'Veon Bell gets no gain. Sam Ficken, who has a nose like Pinocchio, hits a career-long field goal. And you tweeted out, when a guy hits a career-long field goal, a career high, this is just the type of game. This is just the way it's going against the Steelers today.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's there's just very little that went their way in that beginning part of that game. You mentioned the Robbie Anderson pass. You cannot put that on Edmonds. You cannot put it on Hayden. Their coverage was not that bad. The ball simply had to be in the most perfect of spots, and it was. That's why Sam Darnold's a first-round pick. He can do that, you know? It's like you said, it's just a great play. And those things happen. It just felt like that everything is going against them. And then yet, right? all of a sudden things start to turn around and we feel like momentum is going our way. And you know, you get the TJ Watt comes up with this strip sack. You know, as most are saying, who favor the black and gold, cementing his place as the defensive player of the year. Unfortunately, not everybody who votes is a Steelers fan. So
wait a minute, Brian. Say that louder for those that are sitting in the back. Maybe they can't hear loud enough that TJ Watt should be the defensive player of the year. And then he goes and does that, basically comes in with a grown-ass man, not only just a sack, a strip sack where he recovers the ball. He just took the ball from him.
Everything, like, yes. Geez. Absolutely.
And he stole his soul. Maybe. A little bit.
Yeah. A little bit, you know. But look, yeah, and, you know, as they said, he took the ball, and you could add an S after that by punching it. it was you know, hey, look, it wasn't a low blow in the sense he was trying to do it, but, man, he was going for the ball, and some certain other ball-type things might have been in the way. Be that as it may. It definitely, look, TJ Watt comes up with what they need when they need it, right? And it was fantastic. But I'm going to say this as well. I was underwhelmed by the Steelers' pass rush today. You know, this is not a top-tier offensive line that they were going against. And while they had moments, you know, I felt like they should have had more pressures as the game went on. Like, I understand at the beginning of the game, Darnold's getting the ball out really fast. And that continued for a while, but man, the pressure did not seem to be there that much. I thought Javon Hargrave was definitely dominating his guy, blowing things up in the middle. But they looked like they were playing a scrambling quarterback. It almost looked like they were more worried about contain than they were about getting to the quarterback. I don't know whether that's the case or not. But, you know, even at one point, Bud gets hurt. At one point, Cam gets hurt. You know, Pouncey goes out. Look, this team is just snake bit this year with the injury bug. And, you know, it's as I was trying to say when I was talking about this next man up philosophy, it is flat out a miracle that this team is not going to have a losing record, regardless of what happens next week. They will not have a losing record. And that is unreal. Considering everything that's happened, you take away, for the most part, you take away a Hall of Fame starting quarterback from most teams and things go and take away, you know, their number one receiver and take away their number one running back and, you know, lose, some of your offensive linemen for several games and, you know, lose your tight end for a couple games and just keep going and then lose your backup quarterback. Well, you know, teams don't recover from that kind of stuff.
I mentioned somewhere prior, I wrote an article about it. This is by far the most Steelers players, I think maybe even the entire Mike Tomlin era, but definitely over the last 5-6 years that I looked over it, the most players who took at least one snap on offense. There are like several extra bodies that are out there. Mind you, I like some of the bodies. Deion Kane, Kareth White. I mean, these are some finds to be able to plug in on short notice and still be able to crawl to where they've been. And let me tell you, if they make the playoffs, making the playoffs is still an achievement. You know, there's going to still be people that are going to complain. They're going to complain about this loss. Brian, it is deceptive. I felt the same way about the pass rush. You know what's deceptive about this? They hit Darnold 7 times, and they sacked him officially 4 times, 4.0. I don't understand, like, how you can do that, and it still didn't feel like they were getting there enough. Well, I'll tell you why. The Steelers even won the time of possession battle in this game, 31-32 to 28-28. It's because of the turnovers, because these drives ended up in not a zilch, zip, zero. And it's just, it sucks. You had, right after they go up 10-0, you really feel like this is like a lost cause, because this is the one where it was 3rd-and-3 and they're at the Jets 19. If this ball even just drops, just falls to the ground, this is the deep pass for Jalen Samuels for some reason. I don't think this is a called play. I think what happens is Jalen Samuels is probably supposed to release out or whatever route he ran. I don't know. It's not in my memory right now, dude. So somebody don't hang me on this one. But there is, you just don't stand there. He completes maybe a short route, and then what's he going to do? He's probably going to go on a go route, more than likely, or whatever he's instructed to do there, right? Some guys are going to be instructed to come across the field. So that's where he goes, and for whatever reason, Hodges, one smaller guy, tries to get the other smaller guy involved, and it doesn't work out so well. And then the Steelers' defense, despite all of this, the Jets get the ball. This was a touchback because it was in the end zone. The Jets go three and out again. You have like some ridiculous 63-yard punt, and I understand some people are going to want to, you know, throw whatever vegetables and stuff at Jordan Berry. Look, the guy had – how many bad punts can you think that he's had all year? Just the one last week that's really in memory, right? I understand that last year –
Well, that was clearly a bad punt. This year – or this game, the punt where, you know, it ended up going only to the 20 was not a great punt.
But it didn't matter. I mean, because if he tries and boot it a little more, where's it go? The ball still ends up on the 20.
It matters in the sense that he mishit that ball. It was too short. That's all. It's a bad punt. Does it matter? Only in the sense that, you know, it could have been a better punt. But it wasn't a good punt, regardless of location and what you're talking about, and I get it. But it wasn't a good punt. But, yeah, look, people have a bad feeling about Jordan Berry that it carries over from last season when he was not very good.
Yes.
He's been fairly consistent this year. Unfortunately, a couple games now, he's had a few punts that were not great. And because of that, look, I got no issues with Jordan Berry. Again, Jordan Berry's not why they lost this game.
No.
Yes, the special teams had their issues like that. You're talking about the 63-yarder he booms or however long it is. And then they allow a 20-yard return. Then you've also got things like a punt where, you know, Johnny Holton's running down and kicks the ball an extra 35 yards to give the Jets a great thing. You're like, you know, special teams wasn't good this game. The offense was flat out bad this game. And it just, you know, look, it was tough. We said at the get-go, here's how they can win the game. Don't make mistakes. They made a hell of a lot of mistakes.
Well, and that's exactly where I'm going with that, because right after this is when Mason Rudolph comes in and you lose 2 yards on a run. And, you know, this is going to get to your Jalen Samuels thing, what you were talking about, because it's almost like every single time I think that you see Jalen Samuels in the backfield, they'd ever hand him the ball. And it becomes you don't think that teams realize these tendencies. I was thinking actually the opposite of this before that. I was thinking, is there any time, because here comes the Benny Snell -2-yard run. Whenever Snell's in the backfield, do they ever not run the ball? You know what I mean? You got to like mix this up a little bit. Maybe even hit him with a pass. It's kind of like the Jets where they hit that tight end that's only caught his second ball. You got to do things like that. This is week 16. That's where I'll hang my hat when it comes to the Randy Fickner stuff. You know what I mean? So Rudolph at least gets a first down conversion here. You have Jordan Berry kicks a 31-yard punt. Okay, that's not great, but it is what it is. That's the one I think they ends up hitting out of bounds or whatever, directional punt, whatever they were trying to do there. Another three and out, and then you have Deontay Johnson run one back 30 yards, and there's a phantom offensive holding that you couldn't see. Like, I don't know where the heck it happened. Maybe it'll show up on the All-22 film or something like that. But some of this stuff, like, really bothers me because it's like, hey, are you guys, like, are you seeing what you're throwing the flag for? I don't know that they are. So the Steelers actually get some points before the end of half. Rudolph at least orchestrates something that ends in a field goal, 10 plays, 55 yards. They go to a minute 22. And then all of a sudden, you got the TJ Watt deal like we were just talking about. Steelers are right back in the mix here. Rudolph hits the very deep pass to Deontay Johnson. And this is the ball. This was the difference between he and Duck. If this is Rudolph throwing the ball earlier, I'm not going to necessarily say that Jalen Samuels is a guy known to jump leaps and bounds like a James Washington or something, but that ball probably gets there at least a half second earlier because of the arm strength and maybe has a better chance of being completed. This one gets completed. They go in a half with everything knotted up. You're feeling good about this because the Steelers are going to get the ball again to start the second half, and then it kind of, you know, falls apart a little bit. It's 3rd and 5. There's like a little screenplay that they were supposed to that didn't really materialize with Vance McDonald because Jamal Adams is a Pro Bowl safety and immediately snuffed it out. Jets get the ball back. Jets end up scoring on a field goal here. You now have 13-10, and you can't really muster a whole lot from here going forward because this is where, you know, they didn't get a whole lot done from here. It becomes back and forth, back and forth. Then you have Mason Rudolph ends up getting tripping over B.J. Finney. He ends up getting hurt, and now they got to go and put Devlin Hodges back in, and they still didn't really – they got a couple first down conversions here or there, but on that same drive is the 24-yard punt from Jordan Berry that puts the Jets in a better – kind of position, field position wise, where they're able to get another field goal and force the Steelers to have to score a touchdown in order to get this game going at the end. We're now at 3:11 here, Brian, which the aforementioned Jalen Samuels run for 1 yard. You're like, hey, what's with the awareness? I think sometimes the offensive coordinators, they try to, this is where they get cute. Now we're going to outsmart you because we have never handed this guy the ball. But you have a tendency to almost run the ball all the time on first down, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. They're prepared, and they stop it anyways. Devlin Hodges gets sacked. They lose 5 yards. You got another incomplete pass, and the Steelers are going to go and pump the ball and somehow miraculously get it back. Only about a half-minute chewed off the clock in 3 Jets plays. Steelers burn all their timeouts. Are they going to be able to do anything here? It looks like it. They start to get a couple of things going, but really it's a couple of short passes here or there. And, you know, the 4th and 7, Hodges, he has, is like, what, the bad snap, the ball bobbles, somehow gets rid of it to Juju, and Juju can't make the play. The one right before it was a heck of an accurate throw for James Washington. And just, is it Marcus May? That's the corner.
Yeah, Marcus May. It's just a fantastic play on his side.
Man, that's a shame because that's where you have Robbie Anderson makes the play. James Washington doesn't. The major difference in the game, you just got a little – you got – in the end, I don't want to say they necessarily got outplayed because the defense still did the job they were supposed to do, even with bodies such as Hayward and Dupree and that, leaving the game at certain points. And but the offense, man, I just think they're just in a constant case of being shell-shocked because you can never rely on the same guys being in for even a full game, let alone from game to game. Both of these quarterbacks can't get any kind of rapport, consistency with anyone because it's just a constant cycle in and out, different bodies. It sucks. You look forward now. The Baltimore Ravens, they take care of business with the Cleveland Browns. I don't know how I even feel about this going into Baltimore, even if the Ravens play some of their backups. How deep are the Ravens? We talked about from the preseason, from training camp, the Steelers are a very deep team. And they've gotten to this point because they are a deep team, but there's nowhere else to go. You're talking about on deck in the hole, and now the guy on the hole is looking back on the bench, and the guy on the bench is looking up in the stands to go grab a body. You know what I mean?
Just as an update,
yes.
just as an update, Ray Fittipaldo is reporting that Mason Rudolph left the locker room in a sling.
Yes, I did see that. I did see that. So. Yeah, I mean, you got a little bit of help at least. New Orleans took care of business with the Titans. I know that result really wasn't going to matter in the end. The game that really mattered was Jameis Winston being worse than Duck Hodges and throwing 4 picks, and they turned the ball over 5-6 times, losing to the Texans. Texans have won that division. The Titans aren't necessarily in the driver's seat. But they win, they're in, right? But so you need to,
they win, they beat the Texans, they're in. Yeah.
They're in. So yeah, they okay, I'm sorry. I'll turn that back around. The Steelers are no longer in the driver's seat is what I mean. And the Titans now have that control due to this 16-10 loss to the Jets. So you got to be rooting for the Houston Texans next week. And you got to somehow believe that the Steelers can do something better than 10 points. against, I don't know, do the Ravens sit that many players on defense? I don't know that they sit that many on defense. We saw Mark Ingram get, at least, I don't know, you may not have seen it, but Mark Ingram limped off the field against the Browns. They were still getting it done with like Gus Edwards and Justice Hill and guys like that. Lamar Jackson might take a seat too, and they might put RG3 in or something like that. But how many other guys are they going to, you know, put at risk for this game if they have this top seed all locked up? I don't know. I can't say, and I can't really say even for that matter. We weren't sure at the beginning of the season how they were going to make up for all of these losses, all these guys that left their team, like, what, Za'Darius Smith and C.J. Mosley, and they've done it. And they were able to convert this whole offense over with Lamar Jackson. They did that too. So I don't know what the necessarily – I don't know that I'm necessarily all that confident. I would have felt a lot better if they could have gutted out this win. And trust me, these guys are they're the walking wounded right now, walking out of the Jets locker room, out of that stadium. I would have felt a lot better if they got that victory, because next week, as long as the Texans defeat the Titans, then that's all good. Now you got to also think, what are the Texans doing? Because I don't think the Texans can move up into like a three spot either. So does this game really matter a whole lot to them? Are they going to sit any players? Like, you know, you're now in a really kind of crappy situation all the way around with the week 17, who rests who and this, that, and the other thing, and all the different mathematics and the tiebreakers and everything else that, you know, if another game or two would have went a different way for the Steelers this year, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. They would at least be in the five or six spot. They're not. And I mean, all you can do is watch next week and hope for the best.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Look, the Texans have an outside chance at the three seed. I think the Chiefs would have to lose. And I think, what are they winning right now? Or are they even playing right now? They play them tomorrow, don't they? I don't know.
They play the night. Yeah, they got the Sunday night game.
Yeah, if they lose tonight, that would tie their record, and then the Texans would have a reason to continue to play. But as of right now, I don't know that that's all that. I mean, is that all that great of an incentive? I don't know. to move up from the fourth to the fifth to the third seed, I'm not sure that's a big incentive for them. They're locked in. They can't do any worse than the fourth seed. So who knows? I guess the only incentive would be if they had to play the Chiefs, then they would play in Houston rather than in Kansas City. The Steelers are now projected to be the seventh seed, which would have them out of the playoffs. The Titans now have control of their own destiny. They win, they're in. The Steelers have to win and have the Titans lose, and then they'd be in. But a lot of people are going, I don't want them to get in the playoffs. I'd love for them to be in the playoffs simply because I'd like to see this defense perform. And as we've said repeatedly, once you're in, you never know what can happen. But, you know, it's out of their hands now. Look, they had control of their own destiny, and now it's out of their hands. And I don't know what next week's going to be like. You know, I'm sure we'll talk about it more when we get to the pregame of this. I don't know what it's going to be like for them. I think that the Steelers' defense certainly can handle it. But, you know, look, this is a pretty difficult loss for them to take, right?
Yeah.
This is a game they absolutely should have won. This could be a spirit-deadening kind of loss. Let's be honest. The defensives, T.J. Watt was very nice in his post-game press conference where he was talking about how they all love each other and kumbaya and all that stuff. Because he's not going to call his offense out and say, Jesus Christ, you guys stink. You know, if only the offense could score, we'd win more games because they stink. He's not going to say that. But I've been in those locker rooms. I understand. And you have too, in the sense of, you know, there is some resentment that gets under your skin when you're like, we're doing everything we can and you guys can't do crap.
Yeah.
To help. And so, you know, you don't know whether there's going to be a letdown, even against secondary players, because RG3 is not RG3 from when he originally came in. But, you know, it's a road game. It's the final game. Yes, I think that the defense will try and do their best. But, man,
But they were they were pretty close before, and they had the same kind of thing where they had to switch from Rudolph and Duck Hodges and everything. And it is unfortunate because, you know, the way we titled the show was, you know, Mason Rudolph almost saved Christmas, you know, because we're headed into the Christmas season here. And a Merry Christmas to you, Brian, because, you know, and to all of our listeners. And even though we're doing the whole Festivus angle and airing our grievances and stuff, it's just unfortunate because the guy who didn't have the hot hand ended up having to come back due to injury. And that seems to be just the theme of the year is just, hey, who can we pull off of the off the brush pile right now and put a jersey on them? Hey, you, go in there. You know what I mean? It's just, wow. I mean, I really don't know what to do.
This is,
or say about any of it.
It's right. This is the second half possessions. 10 yards, 6 yards, 18 yards, 15 yards, minus 4 yards, 16 yards. That does not inspire you with confidence that they can go down to Baltimore and score points. So, you know, I just don't know. I don't know what to expect next week. I got to think about it right now. I've got too much of a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, I get you on that. And, you know, I don't even know that the Ravens are the same team that they were then, but it was pretty much a defensive struggle for that game too, you know. The game, let me see. I did have it up just a second ago. 26-23. Wow, Steelers scored 23. Wow, we talked about that too. We were like a race to 20 was pretty much going to be whatever it was going to be for this one. But you know what? We'll talk about that when we preview the Ravens, and we'll see what goes on, because we don't know at this point who's available on the Steelers side and who's going to be available on the Ravens side. So it's kind of a moot point to bring any of it up. But Brian, hey, thanks for joining me once again, and Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and yours, my friend.
And the same to you and yours. And happy holidays, Merry Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, joyous Festivus, whatever the heck holiday you choose to celebrate at this time of year, you know, happy Hanukkah, whatever it may be, to all the folks who have been kind enough to give us some of their attention over this this year. We truly appreciate you and hope you have the best holiday season you can have.
Yeah, and you know, we're not even looking ahead beyond all this. Let's just see. Hey, if they get in the dance here, I'm not going to say they're going to get very far. We had this discussion after the Cardinals game as to whether or not they could contend for bigger and better things. They got to get there first, and for all intents and purposes, I don't think it's going to get any prettier than the way it is right now on the offensive side of the ball. We'll see what Rudolph can do. We'll see what Duck can do. Maybe Duck can't kill you, but you don't want him to kill you, but they roll with him, and the Ravens decide to play, you know, what we consider to one of the best secondaries, maybe the best secondary heading into this season, who only added Marcus Peters to it. Well, tall order, my friend. So, but let's enjoy stuffing and feeding our faces during the holidays. And
I'm making filet mignon.
Ooh, that sounds.
That's what I'm making.
That sounds
filet mignon.
You know, I have no idea what my mother's going to make, and well, I won't say anything. It is my mother. I will respect my mother. So, Brian, I know. Thanks for joining me once again. Thank you, listeners. Enjoy your holiday. We'll be back sometime later in the week, obviously before one of the, I don't know, 50 1 o'clock kickoff games or Sunday. But we'll catch up with you. We'll catch up with you at some time then. My name's Joe. His name's Brian. Until next time, we encourage everyone to like, comment, and subscribe. And be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.